Welcome to Waypoint, a podcast for everybody who's playing Tears of the Kingdom right now. It just came out. Yes, we have a backlog. This is totally accurate to when we're recording this. I'm Jules. I'm the Game Master.
I'm Dane Alexa, she, her, and I'm playing Longhorn, she, her. And I can't wait to get started on Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah, no ideas about what they have planned for this one. Magical.
I am JPG, he, him pronouns, and I am playing Troubledore, also he, him pronouns, the delinquent. And Tears of the Kingdom, I bought it for my wife, so I have it. And I don't know if I'm going to have time to play it or not.
Especially so close to release, I mean.
Yes. Oh, God. Yes. We're so behind.
Hi, everybody. I am Tess, she, her pronouns. I play the wonderful Wacky, its pronouns. And I and my boyfriend have promised that we're going to start it at the same time. But I'm not ready to start it yet because I've been moving. So I keep pushing back. So he's just waiting for me. So neither he or I are allowed to listen to Waypoint right now.
Aw, man.
I know. It's weird. It's weird being on it, but not being allowed to listen to this episode.
This happens surprisingly a lot of times from what I heard in these starting bits.
I'm Luca, he, they, and I'll be playing Mr. Olympic, he, him, the star. And yeah, I shouldn't be listening either. I haven't played it. I haven't even played Breath of the Wild.
Is it a controversial thing to say that, like, you can start with Tears of the Kingdom?
I don't think so.
We haven't played it yet, so like, we wouldn't know.
Who can say? Yeah.
It's true, true, true. I haven't played it yet. It just came out. So I'm going to assume that might be a point of discussion at some point, that Tears of the Kingdom may be better and makes Breath of the Wild feel like a demo. Okay, let's continue.
Hi, I'm Mimi, they, them. I play Ecstatic, and I must correct Luca. Actually, Ecstatic is the star. Mr. Olympic is just a star. And I haven't played Tears of the Kingdom. I also don't even own it. I am waiting for one of my friends to finish it and lend it to me. So I obviously have to wait many more weeks until I can listen to this episode, I guess.
Ecstatic is the star. He's just Ken.
Basically.
Oh God,
a reference that will be relevant in a couple of weeks when the Barbie movie comes out.
I think when it comes out, I will really like it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I want to be very clear to our listeners. This was recorded in March of 2025. So.
Oh, shit. Yeah, we're sending our episodes back from the future at this point. Our schedule is really off.
Oh, God.
We have had to invent time travel to make it function. Last time, the Dream Squad got off the island. We're no longer on Skeleton Key. They made their way back to the mainland, and then they decided to, like, split up. I think we cut back into our universe with the larger team, which, together with Imaginite, headed back to the headquarters of Dream Studios, which is where the John Johnson show is being filmed, and which is where you had your debrief last time, or, like, went to your debrief last time. And I think we can kind of, like, cut a bit forward. You made it into the building. You're outside of the conference room. And you get a little opportunity to, like, you know, if you get your story straight before you go in. You are alone here. Imaginite basically left you at the front door. And, yeah, you're free to plan out whatever you want to say.
Okay. So I know everyone is feeling bad, but Troubledore got off-cocked. It was not anyone's fault. He didn't take this seriously enough.
I'm assuming this is your Troubledore died story.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good.
Which was your plan for this.
Also, I just want to point out that, like, Troubledore's, like, senses go off, and he definitely giggles to himself because Mr. Olympic said something about cock. So, I just want to put that out there.
For what it's worth, I'm going to talk as little as possible as Wacky, not as Tess, because I really want to save the reveal of, and this is, I've probably told you all this, again, as Wacky. I want to save the reveal of the scary voice to see if I can, like, use it to surprise Dreamer. So, like, when we were on the boat, I wasn't talking a lot. Like, I'm hoping that element of surprise can be used to our advantage.
Oh, and Miss Olympic is saying it as if it was true. And it's kind of making eyes around the room, trying to suggest that there might be cameras.
If you want to figure out if there are cameras, you could try to assess the situation.
Why not? Oof. 11.
That's pretty good. Yeah, ask two.
What here is the biggest threat?
Okay. You see that the front, the room right in front of you, the doors are open. So in there, you know there are cameras and there are microphones and stuff like that. Because you communicate with Dreamer via, like, a large monitor.
Mm-hmm.
In this room, from the looks of it, you don't see anything that looks like a camera. There is a big light at the top of the room, though, which is, like, I don't know, like, 7 feet high. And that light appears to be, like, that light could be a good hiding place for, like, you know, a microphone or something like that.
Hmm. And let's see. How could we best end this quickly? How can we get out of the debriefing and reach the others?
Well, it's you're Mr. Olympic. You've been to more debriefs of Dream Squad than most others have. Usually these go in a way where it's just, if there are any open questions, they get answered. For example, on this mission, you delivered the Osiris pod in a pretty damaged state, and you didn't deliver the Gene Hackman. Both of these things are likely to answer to raise questions that you will have to answer. You do know that Doug Dreamer really likes to hear himself talk, so if you can steer the conversation to those things quickly and resolve them quickly to the things that directly pertain to the mission, then you should be out the fastest possible.
Okay, that's good.
What I really need from this meeting is to get my brand rights back. So if the document is already there and ready, that would be ideal.
Can I try to sense if there are any guards now that I've got the whole tremor sense thing going on?
Sure, yeah. I'm going to say unleash your powers for that kind of thing.
Cool, cool. My freak is a +3, and I don't have hopeless. I only have one condition right now. What is happening with me?
What have you become?
Okay, so that was a 5.
Your Empire of Dirt.
On the dice, +3, so that's an 8 total.
An 8 total, that's not bad. On
a
7 to
9
marker condition. Yeah, marker condition. Okay,
we know
makes
what I'm
sense.
Doing here.
Yeah, obviously. Okay, in the room in front of you, there don't seem to be people. In the room you're in, there don't seem to be people. You got in here, like, through another door. Outside of that, there also weren't any guards, but there's, like, people walking all around the building. So I'd say your tremor sense picks up on, there's, like, a lot of people outside this area you're in, but you seem to be pretty secluded in here, in this room and the monitor room, at least.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
All right. So if you're assuming you're being currently recorded, I'm gathering you're not, like, making your plans right here for what you want to talk about. So if you want, you can head into the meeting room. Okay, you move forward through the open door, and yeah, you're back in the room that I think I described last time as the Totally Spies room, where you have, like, the table, chairs around, and one wall that's just a huge monitor. You basically can all take seats. You're moving in. At least at the moment where you go through the door, the monitor doesn't seem to be on yet.
Hello? Sir?
As soon as one of you sits down, the screen jumps to life. And you see the same image you saw before. You see Doug Dreamer looking rather old, but not, like, too old, sitting on a comfortable chair, wearing a suit, and looking at the camera. His voice rings out and says, "Welcome back, Dream Squad."
It's good to be back, sir.
Thank you, sir.
I heard there was some tragic news on this mission. Would you be all right with talking about what exactly happened there?
Well, sir, I feel like we were not given a full tactical analysis of the situation. We encountered more resistance than we expected.
You were given as much tactical information as we had. I was hoping for your team, Mr. Olympic, to have more tactical adaptability.
I am sorry, sir.
And maybe you shouldn't have sent rookies with us.
Well, most of the rookies came back, right?
Yeah.
In fact, even upon your return, I have to see that you didn't quite fulfill all the mission parameters. What exactly happened to the gene hackman, Dr. Allendorf?
He mutated himself, and we had to put him down.
Well, in that case, we will soon clear the island and get rid of his remains, or maybe find some useful information there.
Yeah, I'm just happy that he won't be able to hurt anyone else like he hurt me. That's sorry we didn't weren't able to bring him in, but you know, I figure that's some good done.
You see that his expression like slightly softens at that. And he says, I am also glad that you managed to best that demon from your past. Even if not everybody made it back.
I would like to put it on the record that Troubledore showed great bravery.
Oh, I don't doubt that. He hasn't been the most brave until now, but I think recently he's shown some fairly brave behavior. And you see that in the corner of the screen, another screen pops up. And it shows a warehouse with the Osiris pod in it. And Troubledore and Astro Girl being surrounded by robots. See, it takes some bravery, idiotic bravery, but bravery nonetheless, to try to double-cross Dreamland. And as he says that, we cut over to Troubledore and Astro Girl. As they are seen on the screen, the camera moves into the screen and we change the scene. Surrounded by John Johnson bots, aiming their weapons at them. And the one at the top, his eyes glowing red now, looks straight at Troubledore and says, "So, your audience has always asked the question, how do you want to die?"
I think Troubledore turns to Astro Girl and he says, "Hey, you know, how would you like to handle the situation? Because, you know, like, I'm all about, like, personal character growth and all that stuff and everything. And, like, what do you want out of this? Like, what do you want me to do out of this?"
And as you say that, the energy weapon is fired at you and you're forced to respond.
Oh, God. Okay. can it just be... Oh, God. I'm sure I'm going to have to roll for it. So I'm going to roll to defend, but can I use that new shield that I just got?
Okay, so it is firing straight at you. Mm-hmm. So defend isn't, like, fully applicable.
Oh, yet. So defend it. Okay, so, like, would it be directly engaging a threat then? Because I'm trying to just block this thing. And I'm trying
that
to
that works, yeah, that's fair.
I'm trying to do the cool, like, I'm just going to shrug it off, like, while I'm talking to her.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, go for directly engage a threat and aim for resist or avoid their blows.
No.
Okay, what are we getting?
I got a 10 plus 2.
All right. Starting off strong. Nice. Yeah, on a 10 plus 2, pick 2.
I am going to resist or avoid their blows, so that's number one. And then, can I take something from them?
You can do that, yeah. I'm gonna say, like, you're being currently attacked by, like, 5 or 6 of these robots that just came in through the door. And I think taking something from them in this case means you, like, raise the shield kind of casually to deflect that attack that's being thrown at you while you have this conversation. And you see, like, as it gets hit by the attack, glowing symbols appear around the shield in the air in the same like color of light as the energy attack that just came for you, that then come back into the shield and deflect it straight back at who attacked you. And the robot just like is thrown across the room and falls apart in the process. Its parts like scattered throughout. So you took one of them from them.
How far across the room did I just like explode it like right where it stood?
It gives you like a pretty good hint at what would have happened if you had been hit by it.
Okay.
Because it seems to be the same energy and it's like exploded backwards. That was a pretty destructive attack. Okay. And there's still a couple of those.
Does Astro Girl actually answer the question?
Yeah. Okay. Astro Girl sees what happened there and you see like Steven Universe star eyes on her at that really cool move.
Oh, God.
And she says, I'd say we better escape. I don't want to fight five more of those.
Okay, I mean, like, escape is a pretty good option. Or, I think Troubledore gives a quick glance to the vents. But then also, like, his eyes kind of linger on, like, all of, like, the robot parts. And like that, like the robot part, the part in his brain who loves robots, like just starts to itch a little bit. Hey, Astro Girl, like, could you maybe stall them for like a few minutes?
I'd say roll a provoke someone here. Cool. To basically have the NPC fight like a player character and distract the opponent.
Oh my god.
It's in another great role.
Oh my god, Jules, you were getting messed up this episode. That's an 11 plus 1.
11 plus 1 isn't bad. Okay. Yeah, you completely succeed. On a 10 plus, they rise to the bait and do what you want. Astro Girl, like, looks at the robots, and you, like, Astro Girl hasn't fought anything so far. She's very much been like a desk jockey of a superpowered being. But you see like a sort of hidden rage in her eyes at all the bullshit that she just figured out about her whole existence, about how she was made. And you see like a desire to fight.
Yeah.
And she looks back at you and says, can I borrow the spear?
You can borrow the spear and the shield. I'm actually going to need both hands for this.
She takes both of those and you see her like run at the Johnson bots who are charging up their weapons again, and she like dolphin jumps to the front and dives into the ground.
Like the Wonder Woman soundtrack just starts playing, right?
Exactly. And the robots seem confused, like their targeting systems aren't working, and then suddenly like a spear rises out of the ground and pierces one of them against the wall. Astro Girl attached to it, and she lets out a pretty angry scream. You have the opportunity to do whatever you wanted to do.
I want to hack the John Johnson bots.
Do you have any specific plan for what you're intending to do?
Primary goal is to use them to backdoor into the system of Dreamland.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to give you the choice of what you can do here.
Okay.
You could use the John Johnson bots to kind of access their systems and use them as a weapon or something like that. Or you could try to go through their system to, like, get into Dreamland systems, figure out what their current pejorative is, stuff like that. Because I think one of these would fit more as an Unleash Your Powers, and one of these is kind of more of a Pierce the Mask.
I would say, you know, I think chaos-wise, right, like, it's a... I think everybody would expect me to try to take over the John Johnson robots. I'm going to make it look like that, but I really want a backdoor into their system. So I'm going to take the B option.
Okay, then roll for Pierce the Mask.
And that's a 7 plus 1.
Okay, on a 7, you get to ask one.
Let's see. How could I get Doug Dreamer to stop paying attention to me?
I mean, okay, that's a good way. You basically get into the system of the robots and figure out what they're programmed to do. And you have to get through a lot of canned laughter and asking very basic questions about what current movie you're going to be appearing in.
Just a bunch of puff pieces.
Because that is their mainline programming.
Yeah, just all puff piece programming.
Yeah, yeah, the Jimmy Fallon protocols. And you get through it and get to the point of what their current kill command is, just like with Jimmy Fallon. And once you've arrived there, you figure out like they've been programmed to keep hitting you until you stop getting up. Basically. So basically, if you can fake that they killed you, they'll let up. They're not programmed to, like, check your heartbeat or anything.
Oh, okay.
They don't have, like, infrared sight or shit like that. They're mainly, like, talk show hosts. They just also have a kill program.
So it's not a very good kill program, but it's, like, good enough.
Yeah, they're, like, emergency use only.
Okay.
They're probably being stored somewhere around here, like a corner away, and they just activated as emergency protocol. Someone's in here. And we cut back to the other group who are seeing that Troubledore and Astrogirl are fighting the robots, but they're definitely outnumbered. And yeah, Duck Dreamer just revealed that he absolutely knows that you double-crossed him.
Oh, so oh my god, he tricked us.
What's the role for innocence?
Okay, is this serious?
No, I don't think so.
Is this a provoke someone? Oh man, he's sure gonna believe me.
This is a genuine but bad attempt at from Becca. Dana, the player, do not think that this.
I don't see that working.
Gonna
work.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the kick is up. Douglas.
I expected more from you.
Really? More of what?
Loyalty, intelligence, understanding when you don't have a chance. The minimum of a Dreamland superhero.
Well, maybe you should find some superheroes instead of a glorified kill squad.
What's the difference?
You know, for years I told me that what I was doing was just what everyone did it. That every government did these terrible things and we're just better at it. But no. You are actually worse. You're just a selfish old man.
I did nothing wrong here. You're the ones who decided to betray me. I tried to get my property back. Now you are going to have to pay the price for trying to betray me in the process of doing it. What actually happened to Allendorf?
He's gone. You'll never find him.
Look, what... Was it true that he was working for you when he did what he did to me?
He had been working for me in the past, yes. Or more specifically, for Knight Meditech and Research Enterprises. I don't have the current information on when exactly what happened to you went down. I know that I didn't personally sign off on it. And I was really hoping that at least you would make the right choice and not work with the man who did this to you.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to do right now. I would like to... I have five potential.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the thing about five potential is that I can...
Uh-huh.
I can take an advance. And, you know, one of those advances is to... unlock your moment of truth.
Mm-hmm. This is the first moment of truth happening on this podcast.
Is this happening?
this is happening.
Okay. To give a short little overview to the audience, because this has never happened before, a moment of truth is something you can unlock and that you can do, I think, at most twice.
Mm-hmm.
In the whole game.
Three times. If you change playbooks, you can do it again.
True, yeah, okay. And the moment of truth is you take control of the scene and you say what happens. And it's this big moment for your character. Each playbook has a slight different description of what exactly your moment of truth entails. And, yeah, you're up, Dana.
So, the moment of truth for the bull says, this is what you do best. You let loose... all the pent-up strength and rage and glee, and you break whatever stands in your way. You're a walking demolition crew. What can stand up to you? Nothing. Not buildings, not structures, not enemies, nothing. Of course, now the people who changed you know exactly where to find you. And I think the thing here is we got separated, but we did see where this lab was. And so Becca turns and lowers her head and just charges through the wall.
Through the monitor?
Yeah. Through the monitor, through the wall, and just charges through, like, out of the building and straight to where the lab is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You definitely have, like, a moment of running through multiple rooms where people are in there, like, mm-hmm. at desks and stuff like that, or whether it's, like, film studios, as you, like, Looney Tunes your shape through the walls.
Exactly, exactly. So while Troubledore is, or I guess has figured out this, the John Johnson robots, Becca bursts through the side of the warehouse and starts grabbing the John Johnson killbots and throwing them into each other.
Okay, yeah. Everybody else sees that happen. Becca runs through multiple walls, basically jumps out of the building down like a couple of floors to mm-hmm. a parking lot, runs down the street towards Knight Meditech and Research Enterprises. I'm just going to shorten it. It's Nightmare. Haha, the joke is it's Nightmare. Yeah, runs over to the Nightmare building and bursts through the next wall, where the rest of the team is still kind of just standing there like, what the fuck just happened? As the monitor, like, immediately phases out as soon as it's broken, and the voice of Doug Dreamer dies down.
That's my girl. Let's go.
Do you also jump out of the, like, fourth or fifth floor or whatever you are?
Well, I have zip lines.
Zip lines are a good idea, yeah.
What I would like to do is talk to the people that are actually still in the building mm-hmm. and tell them, what are you doing? You have to get a film crew on this. This is the show of a lifetime. Because if we humiliate Doug Dreamer, I want it to happen on live TV in Dreamland.
Ooh. That's a great idea. Do a provoke someone.
That's exactly a 10.
Hell yeah. Okay, yeah. No bonuses needed. One of the rooms you ran through was basically, or like Becca ran through, was basically like the studio that you filmed the talk show in. And currently there appears to be, like, some other interview ongoing. And the camera people and the interviewer just immediately abandon it and run to the bottom of the building to, like, follow this charging Hulk making her way over to the Nightmare building. Absolutely convinced immediately. And what's happening over at the Nightmare building is, yeah, Becca just ran in. Troubledore and Astro Girl both saw that and, like, crushed two of the John Johnson bots pretty much immediately. You're now left with, like, only one or two of them who, like, immediately recognize Becca as the biggest threat and turn their weapons towards her. I don't know. How does Troubledore hack them? Is it, like, the fun keypad on the arm kind of shit? How do you go about it?
Oh, I was gonna put my nanobots out like they were like a, oh gosh, like in early 90s films. I was gonna like make mm-hmm. like a CRT monitor with my nanobots and like a keyboard with the nanobots, and it was just gonna look mm-hmm. ridiculous.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Yeah, like you're standing there like typing at the back, tick 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 tick, I'm in. Astro Girl is like half stuck in a wall together with a spear, ramming one of the bots into it, who says, and I thought my questions were piercing, as it dies and its head explodes. And Becca just crushed two of the robots as soon as she came in. Yeah, you're with this scenario where two robots are about to like counterattack Becca.
Could I I kind of want to hack them just in time. You know,
okay.
What I mean, like really, like really play up like the comic book panel of like when they're right about to hit her. That's when I can fully hack them.
Yeah, for sure. You can absolutely do that. Go for an Unleash Your Powers this time.
Could I make an argument for that I'm directly engaging a threat right now?
You absolutely can. Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Right. Directly engage a threat.
Okay, because that gives you a plus two instead of plus one. Oh my god. And I definitely needed that.
Oh, that's finally not a 10.
No. Well, I rolled a 5, but it's a plus 2, so I got it.
Hey, it's a 7 at least. Pick one.
Becca's really created the opportunity, so I don't think I need to create an opportunity. So could I surprise the opposition?
Surprise the opposition?
Yeah.
Like, it's just something where I don't think you'd get any feedback on what you actually did at this point. Because, like, yeah, someone who's watching this on a monitor would probably be like, oh, man, that's bad for me. But it wouldn't affect you very much.
It just cuts to the security room and there's just, like, one dude in there like, oh, man.
I mean, you can definitely go with that.
But, like...
Dark Dreamer behind a monitor being like, fuck.
Okay, but like how, Jules, how in am I? Because if I'm in, I want to start affecting everything.
I'm going to say you're in the way that you like managed to save Becca in this situation real quick. You're not in the way of like you can download the entire security system.
Okay. So I think now that I have an in, I am personally going to keep trying to get deeper into it to see what sort of havoc I can cause around Dreamland while we're doing this. But that's going to be for me.
We also still have to find, like, the actual corpse of Starbolt. I don't think we know where it is.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's, you know, y'all got it. Like,
You can definitely, like, okay, so you're sticking with Impress, Surprise, or Frighten the opposition?
Yes.
Then I'd say, like, the way you do it is just generally pretty impressive. You do have like the slight backdoor now, and that very easily allows you to get into both of them that are currently like aiming for Becca, and you basically like have them both swing their arms out of the way so they like fire but don't actually hit her. One of them actually hits the other one and explodes it, which is really cool and feels really nice, but you didn't resist or avoid their blows. The second one aims at you. And while it doesn't, like, destroy, like, it doesn't fully hit you, it hits your equipment just enough that, like, your hacking equipment is out of service for a little bit. It basically hits through that monitor of nanobots you just projected up.
Oh, man.
And I'd say you mark a condition as a result of that.
All right. I am going to mark... Let's do angry. I like angry.
Angry's nice. And yeah, Becca, you, what emotional state are you in right now? Are you, like, full berserk mode, or, is it more targeted and focused?
I think it's surprisingly focused, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the description is you let loose all the pent-up strength and rage and glee, but I think it's actually, for Becca, this is a moment of clarity, like just doesn't have to keep up the performance of like trying to trick Doug Dreamer in Dreamland that she's, you know, still on their side, and but also like the performance of like having to be a good role model for the 9 to 13 demographic. She just sort of realized that she can just use her strength to, you know, do something good and just do that, and not like she knows that this is the right thing to do and she doesn't have to worry about if she's going to scare people or if she's going to be judged. She just realizes in this moment that, you know, all that matters is that she knows what the right thing to do is and that she does it. Also, on that note, I check the rules for Moment of Truth, and it says after using a Moment of Truth, one of my labels is permanently locked, so I am permanently locking danger at plus one.
Ooh. Okay.
I think that the reason that's permanently locked at plus one is she knows that, like, it's not like a plus two or a plus three, because she knows that she's not a you know, a destructive mm-hmm. person. That's not like core to her identity, but it is true about her, and that like that she has the capacity for violence, and that she can mm-hmm. do good with it, and she's accepted that and is comfortable with that.
Nice. So having just like expressed all that, having fought your way in and kind of like helped save your friends, you are now confronted with the final John Johnson bot, who just kind of like aimed his arm in the wrong direction, but his other arm folds out in the same way that the gun arm did, except this one folds out into like a futuristic cyberpunk looking katana blade. And he obviously gets ready to swing that at you and says, "I'm so sorry to have to cut this emotional moment short, but I'm afraid our time is up."
I can't think of something especially clever, so I think Becca's gonna take the lasso off of her hip and say, you know, Mr. Johnson, I think you got a face for radio," and just like try to grab his arm with the katana coming out of it before with the lasso before he can attack her.
All right, yeah, directly engage a threat.
I would love to.
With your permanent plus one danger.
And I would also love to cause significant collateral damage to this warehouse.
That is absolutely fair. You've already gotten a great start at that.
Oh, wow, okay, that's 11 plus the one is 12.
Okay, yeah, hell yeah. Okay, directly engage a threat, pick two.
Well, because I have the in a china shop and I'm causing significant collateral damage, I choose an additional option.
True, yeah, you actually pick three.
So I will resist or avoid their blows. I will mm-hmm. create an opportunity for my allies to kind of recover from the fight and for my other allies to catch mm-hmm. up. And I will impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
Okay, I think you actually have a pretty good opportunity here for all of these. Because I'd say, like, you basically, you cause additional collateral damage with this move.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine that would kind of manifest in you, like, lassoing the arm and, like, flipping him around you and crashing him against, like, one of the shelves or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
That way you absolutely resist or avoid the blows. And I would say, like, you impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition in the way that you manage to hit him actually against the bookshelf, or the shelf that's here, that the central camera was mounted on, that you saw the scene through, because you have kind of, like, an idea where it is, because mm-hmm. you could, like, look at the monitor. So you, like, destroy the opportunity to look at what you're currently doing, which definitely has, like, a surprising or frightening effect. And you create an opportunity for your allies in the way that you still bring enough precision into it that once the dust settles, the mostly undamaged head of the John Johnson bot rolls out, creating an opportunity for Troubledore to further hack it and get into the system. And the John Johnson fight is over. You did it. You defeated my talk show hosts. So, the rest of the group, are you all ziplining down with Mr. Olympic?
Yes.
Against my will.
I'm definitely just jumping. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna worry about ziplining. If I take more damage, I take more damage.
I was just imagining, like, you not doing, like, the classic superhero jump pose, kind of, where you, like, land with your fist down, but you just ragdoll out and roll across the ground.
Just the worst video game physics.
Just lands wetly on
straight up dying in Skyrim. you manage to make your way out, and yeah, it's still a road basically to the nightmare building, but you can absolutely get there.
Are there any of those like studio golf cart tour things going on right now?
Sure, yeah, why not? Yeah, there's probably one or two out here, because this is also like at the center of where they film stuff, so just for like whatever situation, they have a few standing here, yeah.
I want to grab a cart.
Okay, yeah, do that. You somewhat fit in that.
Are the keys in it, or would someone have to, like...
It doesn't have keys. It's a button.
Perfect. I don't have fingers small enough to press a button.
As you do that and kind of drive up to the others, and you all kind of make your way to run over to the nightmare building, you hear a voice coming from pretty close to the building that's getting closer as two people run up to you, and that voice says, Maxima Powers! And it's Max's mom, Beatrix Powers, followed by Rex, of all people, who are running up to you as you're coming out of the building.
I think what I'm trying to do now is basically just jump on the back of the cart that Wacky is in and say, sorry, got heroing to do.
Max, what the fuck's going on?
Talk to you later.
I can't believe this. And yeah, you get out of that situation and drive off as the team makes its way towards the nightmare building.
Oh, I so wanted to tell her off. I was so ready. I was like, can I fight
your mom? I assume we're going to meet her later, maybe.
That's fair.
You also get to the nightmare building. There's a nice Longhorn-shaped hole in the wall. It's actually significantly larger than Longhorn. Longhorn broke down like a good bit of it.
I feel like it's important to say for me that the whole nightmare building with Dark Dreamer and whatever horrors are in there is way less terrifying than just Max's mother.
Yeah. You make it into the same warehouse where the others are. The fight has just come to an end as Becca slammed one of the last remaining John Johnson bot into that shelf that's just coming down. And yeah, you're here now. There's another exit to this room that leads further into the building. There's the previously described vents that are still accessible to you. And yeah, you're here. You're also aware, I'd say, that you're not going to be left alone for long. Like, the security response was slow, but there will be one. This building is full of security. And yeah, what you doing?
Okay. Troubledor, did you get in the system?
Jules, did I get in? Am I in?
You definitely have the time to get in if you want to take it. The question is what you want to do, because I'd say you always have to roll for whatever that is.
Oh.
Unless it's like something very easy.
I'm almost in, but I'm going to need a little bit more time. And okay. I'm just generally going to cause chaos once I'm in.
Okay. We need to find a facility.
Okay. I'll... Oh, this is going to be gross, but you lead, I follow, I guess.
How much time do you need?
I can do it on the way. Don't worry about me.
Okay. Actually, can you patch me into the two loudspeakers?
Oh, do I have access to that yet?
The bots aren't, like, connected to every single system that's in here. But they definitely have like, a plan of the building in them that they use to, like, navigate around here. Basically, like, they allow you to gain more access because they know where the access points are.
Cool. Okay.
That's generally how it works.
Could I lead them to a place right now where I can get them access to the speakers?
Sure. I'd say assess the situation.
All right.
For finding stuff like that.
That is superior.
Gonna make you roll every single roll for hacking.
I know, right?
That there is.
Technically, though, would this count as me misleading, distracting, or tricking?
Not really. You're like, you're leading right now.
Okay, fine.
You're leading, you're tracking, attracting, and you're untricking your group. You're doing the exact opposite of that.
Jules, I'm messing you up today. That's a 9 plus 1, so that's a 10 for assess the situation.
I'm glad that Troubledore gets to do so much cool shit before he dies.
Thanks, Jules, I appreciate that. Yeah, so I get to ask 2.
Yep.
Okay, I know the question is who here is most vulnerable to me. Could I amend it to what here
is most vulnerable to me? Yeah, yeah,
okay.
That's fair, yeah. You definitely have that question, like, where the best access point would be.
Mm-hmm.
You know that there's a floor higher there's like a lot of data centers and stuff like that. Like you'd have to get through basically like in this building, it's not just a Nightmare building. Night is like a shell company for like a lot of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's Nightmare, Night Meditech and Research Enterprises. There's a lot of other companies that basically start with Night. On the next floor, there's Night Applied Genealogy Enterprises. And in that one, there's basically like a security center that you could use to hack in. You just have to get like one floor higher, and that would give you access to most systems if you can get into systems there.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. And then with getting access to there, how could we best end all of this quickly?
So like you basically have access to the maps of the building.
Okay.
And one thing that shows you is there's basically like a medical center right at the top of the building. And something you'd like gather from these maps is that the closer you get to that medical center, the lower the temperature gets. And you'd assume with Doug Dreamer being like close to death, basically as described before, he'd be at the very top. He'd be in the medical center.
Okay. Cool.
So if you want to get to him, you have to get to the top of the building. And that would be the way to end this quickly.
But then to get to the top of the building, I probably am going to need more access in order to get people where they need to go. So I tell Mr. Olympic one more floor up, and then we can lock down this place ourselves.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you tell us, like, out loud that you think Doug Dreamer is on the top floor?
Yeah. I'm just going to say I need to get one floor up so I can make sure, but I'm pretty sure Dreamer's on the top floor.
Okay. And I grab him and just fling him through the ceiling into the next floor.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I think this is Unleash Your Powers.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's a 10. It was a 7 on the dice plus 3.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. On a hit, you do
I
it.
I think I have influence over Troubledore, so it's technically an 11.
Nice. Yeah, it works perfectly. Troubledore, take a powerful blow.
Oh, God. Okay.
You are moving to the next floor through the floor.
You know what? There's no way I'm going to roll low. I've been hot all day.
Hey, maybe, you know, karmic balance. Now you're going to roll low.
I almost did. It was a 6, but I have one condition, so it's a 7.
Okay, yeah. On a 7 to 9, choose one. I think lashing out verbally is fair.
I feel like Troubledore would respect the gumption. Like, let's be honest.
True. Yeah, that's also fair.
Am I just assuming, like, I'm just in the security center, there's just, like, a whole bunch of other dudes?
You're being thrown to the... I'd say you're on the next floor. You're not, like, directly in the security center, but okay. You're definitely close to it.
You know what? Nah, let's make this dramatic. I'm gonna struggle past the pain.
Okay, yeah, sure. You struggle past the pain, mark two conditions.
I'm gonna do insecure, and I'm gonna do guilty. because I just think the scene is I like crash through it, and my body hits the ground, and I'm like, oh, cool, punk rock. Like,
<that's-> Yeah, you find yourself in, like, you saw in the files before that there's, like, a lot of data centers up here. And not just computers. There's also, like, just, you know, storage of, like, files and stuff like that. And I'd say you land right in the middle of, like, a file cabinet room where, like, a lot of these sort of details are about. And actually, you're not alone in here. You are thrown through the ground, you land on the floor, you kind of get up, and you see, like, right in front of you, there's this very bright reading lamp over, like, a reading station or something like that. And you see that at that reading station, someone is seated and looking through some files. And you recognize that person. That's Javelin Dark, the team's lawyer, who is sitting here and checking some of the files, apparently. And as he sees you kind of crashing through the floor and landing there, he's, like, shocked for a small moment. And then he fucking bolts it. You remember that his powers are shadow teleportation. And he grabs the files he's been reading through and tries to get out of, like, the circle of light he's in so he can teleport away.
Oh, God. What can I do? What do I have?
You still have your nanobots. And I can definitely say that, like, after the fight, Astrogirl could have given you back, like, at least one of the weapons that she used to fight the bots.
You also have filing cabinets around you.
That too.
Could I just get the nanobots to just, like, squish him in between, like, so he's still in the light?
To, like, kind of lock him into place?
Well, I'm going to use the nanobots to, like, push the cabinets so we, like, sandwich him in, so now he can't.
Okay.
I was going to joke that, like, aren't you just going to start throwing furniture? That's our MO, but I'm glad you are. That's good.
Technically, I am physically moving the furniture. It's just,
yeah, you're keeping on theme.
I got thrown, so I'm just going to give some furniture a rest at this point.
Yeah, I'd say this is an Unleash Your Powers.
All right, this is going to be... That's Freak, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about directly engage a threat because you are kind of like taking something away from them, but he's not a threat.
It's an 8 plus 1.
Okay, on a 7 to 9, mark a conditional. I'll tell you how the effect is unstable or temporary. You want to mark a fourth condition?
Heck yeah, I do.
Right, sure, why not?
Actually, no, wait, stop. I'm going to spend team.
You can
team.
Selfishly use
I'm
team.
I'm going to spend yeah. team because I have what team? When you use team selfishly, clear condition or mark potential.
hell yeah. Okay, hell you yeah. you get to shift your own labels then.
I'm going to take off guilty then. If I'm going to shift labels, I'm going to put danger down and freak up.
Yep.
And then now that's a full 10.
Okay, yeah, on a full 10, you do it. How is this, like, describe how this is a selfish use of the powers.
How is this a selfish use?
I think something you could definitely do is, like, you saw him pick up some of the files.
Do I keep him for myself? Can I keep him for myself?
The files, yeah, you can definitely, like, take the files and not inform your group about what...
Yeah, it does say, when you act selfishly, say how your actions ignore or insult your teammates.
Mm. Oh, 100% I take all the files. Like, I, like...
Yeah.
Or, like, I download
I can make this more selfish for you, actually, by seeing what the files say. You're actually... you see, as you take them off of him, because you did lock him in place... you are currently at Knight Applied Genealogy Enterprises. You'd know that that's like a company that specializes in like giving parents the opportunity to get children with superpowers. They basically trade in like superhero sperm, essentially. So parents can have like a high chance that their kids like basically inherit superpowers. And the file he's been trying to escape with has the name Beatrix Powers on it. So it is a very selfish use of it if you take that file for yourself and don't inform Max about it.
Oh, God. Wait, I'm trying to... Because me and Max don't know each other that well.
Hmm.
And I just feel like, oh, like, this information isn't just for you, this is for everybody, so I'm just going to post it on the internet anyway.
God, I feel like so taking... Like personal information and just posting it on the internet is
insulting. Yes,
yeah. Insulting and
villain behavior.
Their well being slash.
Well, and then like, am I like held to HIPAA regulations here, or am I just gonna be like, look, these are all the parents who are trying to like superhero sperm it up, right? Like.
I mean, he specifically tried to escape with that one file, which kind of makes you think, maybe there was, like, a purpose to that, to him trying to take this one specific file. But you can definitely ask him that before the rest of the team make it up.
Oh, no, I just think I digitize it and I just upload it and be like, hey, this looks important.
I was about to say, do you just, like, wink your eye of nanobots at it and it's automatically uploaded to Instagram?
Oh, 100%. Like,
okay, yeah.
I just think, I think the selfish part is like, I don't even care, right? Like, I didn't read it. I don't care about the consequences. I'm like, oh, hey, this looks important. Internet.
Yeah. You're just like, he wanted to hide something from me. Well, fuck you.
And then I think when Max comes up through the hole, I'm like, hey, so quick aside,
I didn't fully read that.
I just like put whatever was in his hands on the internet because this nerd thought like, oh hey, I should hide it from the big like from the good guys and stuff. And so I like uploaded it, but then when I uploaded it, like your mom's name was on it.
Javelin Dark, as soon as he hears that, like, freezes in place. Like, he's aware, okay, something bad is gonna happen now, I think.
What was the file?
You can see it. I think it's still here. Like, you uploaded it, but the file should still be present in the room.
Okay, yeah, I think then I'm gonna pick it up and take a look.
Jeez!
Yeah, so it says Beatrix Powers on the front page. And if you flip into it, you see that it's like a record, basically, of essentially who the donors were for what she attempted to acquire. And it's just like names, basically. It's not too specific. It says like power sets and stuff like that.
Multiple donors?
Like two different donors for two different children. It doesn't say specifically who is for which child, but from like the time it happened, you can assume.
Jules, how dare you not make this spicier? Like, there should be...
It's very clinical.
Like, there should...
It's very
no,
clinical.
No. Like, I think there should be like two other names on here.
I want the Mamma Mia of Max's life. Which dad is it?
Oh my god!
They could all walk me down the aisle.
No, sadly, this is a medical facility that keeps meticulous records, and not a vague guess at who boned my mom.
No. I'm saying there should be like two other names. Yeah, secret mm-hmm. siblings mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah. No, sadly, that is not what this is.
Man.
There are two different names, and you can assume, like, from the time who was which, because Rex is the older sibling, so the first name is probably associated with Rex. That name is Jay Walker, and it says the power set is superhuman strength. And the second name under it is the name K. Lang, which you actually see there's a correction printed under it with T. Lang, and the power set is electromagnetic control.
Wait, does Max know
oh my god.
Who their papa is?
Oh my god.
Well, like, Max only ever had her mother at this point.
Oh,
and there was some sort of suspicion that she did something to have superpowered children. Especially since she was very disappointed at Rex not having any powers. But it wasn't, like, specifically clear what happened.
So you've never met your dad?
No.
I
has no idea who dad even is or if dad exists.
Yeah.
I mean, as a listener who's listened to the early episodes relatively recently, I think she might have already.
Max, you have some pretty good knowledge of well-known superheroes,
I do.
Right?
Mm. Yes.
And a lot of superheroes don't really keep much of a secret identity. And you know a superhero who has the initials T. Lang. Trinity Lang, specifically, is the name of Transistor.
Mm-hmm. Someone with electromagnetic powers who would have changed their name at some point.
I think Max just sort of stares at it, like, no emotion, like, no facial expression, just sort of staring at it.
I just think it gets real quiet and Troubledore's like, so, Mazel Tov?
So you uploaded this onto the internet?
Like the whole internet, yeah.
Well, they say there's no such thing as bad publicity.
You just trying to end this like a Full House episode right now?
Everywhere.
Max just throws the file to the side and actually walks up to Javelin.
So I didn't do that. I'm not to blame for what happened here.
Who told you to get rid of this?
He kind of looks around and he's like, suddenly, he seems to be thinking about his options and how much worth lying is. And he ultimately says, well, I wasn't supposed to destroy it. I was supposed to bring it to the top floor. I think it was meant to be a bargaining chip.
I mean, just for the record, this kind of information would not have gotten me to, you know, abandon my team and the mission.
Totally understandable. I have nothing to do with this. This was my involvement. You can head up and do whatever you wish.
So you wouldn't happen to know where, like, the whole brand agreement thing for Ecstatic is?
I mean, it's not like a piece of paper you can just rip through.
I was kind of hoping, you know, the paperwork was already prepared.
Not to my knowledge. Maybe another lawyer did that.
Oh, well.
My personal opinion as Mr. Dreamer's lawyer is that he probably never wanted to give you the brand rights.
That makes sense and makes you very useless to me right now.
Yes, so you can just leave me here and leave. Hey, I'm not to blame for what Mr. Dreamer does. I'm just his lawyer.
Yeah, you're just working for him.
At this point, I think Longhorn or Becca steps up with the lasso.
Yeah, I think we should sort of permanently keep him here, at least until everything is done with, you know, whatever we end up doing. Letting him go seems like a bad plan.
I can live with that. I don't mean to get involved in anything.
All right, I ain't hogtied anyone on this mission yet.
Yo, that was an option?
Yeah, you can definitely tie him up. Like, he's pressed in between these filing cabinets and can't really get out. You just have to move them a little, and he actually won't fight back.
Yeah.
He knows that this is pretty worthless at this point.
Just in case, I'm going to point a couple of his lamp directly to him and turn them on.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, there's a lot of reading lamps around for the files. I'm pretty sure I'm beat on this. If you just leave me here, I can just tell you where to go.
That would be helpful.
Top floor, it's the room at the end of the hallway. She should know, and he points at Astro Girl, who seems to be kind of taken aback by that. Why would I know? And now he raises an eyebrow. I've seen you in there a couple times. And she says, I don't remember that.
Oh, no.
Also, I'm so glad that someone picked up on the transistor thing. Dana, like, I was thinking nobody would get that one until I actually brought it up. I'm very glad.
Did you ever tell us Transistor's civilian name?
No, I did not.
Okay.
It just didn't come up. I think I made it up, like, for this episode.
Okay.
Awesome.
It didn't have it in my notes.
Yeah, she's my favorite NPC so far, so that immediately jumped to mind.
I love her too.
I'm glad I was here for the live reaction.
Max, I know two moms.
I'm a you know, guest player and also a live studio audience.
So, is there just another clone running around that looks like Astro Girl with the same power set? Because that could be a problem.
I don't know. I have no idea. I didn't even know that she was a clone. It makes sense in context, but...
Okay.
Okay, well, let's blow this dude up and... I mean, not, like, this particular dude, but, like, I mean, Dreamer.
Yes, please.
Yeah, let's... But, I mean, like, yeah, let's get me in the control room. Let's blow this whole place up. Actually, dude, now that I think about it, I kind of don't care if you're in the building or not, but we're just going to keep you under this lamp, so have fun with that.
You could let me go. I'm not going to do anything. If you're planning on bringing down the building, at least, that would be very much appreciated.
You're also...
I don't know if I can teleport before the lamps start malfunctioning.
You're also a lawyer, dude, and, like, honestly, man, you've probably done some stuff.
He, you see that he kind of, like, tries to move out of the way now that he's kind of, like, scared. Like, he's trying to use his horns to sort of... dig at the constraints he has a little bit. I don't know what I would do against you. I have teleporting powers, but I'm not really a fighter. So I would just get away. I would continue practicing law.
Maybe we'll come back, whatever. And I just, like, leave the room.
Yeah, you can absolutely just leave him behind. Maybe he'll get out. Who knows?
On my way back, I think Mr. Limpy just looks back and say, "You're gonna owe me," and turns off the light.
Aww.
You leave the room. He doesn't give a response, but you assume he teleports away. And you make your way into the next room, which is the security center that you've been looking for, where there is basically, like, it looks like there should be someone in here controlling all of the screens and all of the computers, but there's no one there.
By the way, I am putting a magnet on Astro Girl as an identifier for me.
Oh.
That's fair. Yeah, that's a good idea. You can. Do you do it like secretly, or do you just give her the magnet?
No, I'm doing it pretty openly, but I put like the magnet on myself.
Yeah, she just takes it and doesn't really question it. But yeah, you get into the computer room. It's empty, but you see there's like a lot of security cameras all around you, like monitors that show what security cameras are looking at. And there is like a central console, which appears to be connected to the security system of the building. Like, you don't even really have to hack into it. You just have access to it because no one's here to like stop you.
I guess we'll just let Troubledo do his thing.
Okay, so I would then...
You can open and close doors. You can enable and disable cameras. But something you also notice is that the top floor appears to be on its own separate system.
Okay. So I'm going to call an elevator. I want to do mm-hmm. two things. Once I get into the system, I want to do two things. Number one is call an elevator, like a safe elevator for the team in order to get all the way up to the very top.
Mm-hmm.
Number two...
Yeah, you can definitely do that.
Number two is, I'm assuming... Dreamland in general is kind of just running on its own right now, right?
What do you mean?
Like Dreamland, okay, I'm assuming, so Dreamland is both a country and a resort, right?
Yes, it's both a country and a theme park, okay. In a way, yeah.
So, theme parks have, like, attractions and automated stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to, like, short circuit all of that. I just want chaos to be happening in the theme park right now.
You can definitely access stuff that's, like, close to you, I'd say.
Okay. And then just...
Like, the theme park is, again, the size of Florida. Okay. But you have access to some of the attractions in the city where you're currently in.
Let's do it.
All right, yeah. I'd say this is actually an Unleash Your Powers, because this is, like, a bit more complex.
Good thing I took a 2. Freak.
Yeah.
Oh, and I definitely needed it. That's a 9+2.
All right, nice. Yeah, on a 10, you do it. You hear from outside, like, screams and crashing metal. I don't even think we see what happens, but it's just like this thing where you type a few things, everybody looks at what you're doing, isn't quite sure, and then you hear this sounds of mayhem in the background.
Yeah, so I made a distraction, so y'all can just go in the elevator and do your thing.
And the elevator comes down.
I know I'm getting in. I definitely would love a shot of all of us just like in the elevator with awkward elevator music playing while we
everybody
wait
smushed
to
together, the whole team. Yeah.
I have had bad experiences with elevators.
This is definitely like more than the carrying capacity says, but it still functions.
Yeah, it's like
Jules,
a
you're gonna
echo back to the sub.
It's forced against Wacky.
You're like, I have this image, like, the light atop of you is kind of flickering because all the technology is going wild here. And you're all, like, smushed together from corner to corner. Wacky in the middle, everybody kind of pressed into, like, Wacky's big plush form to kind of fit into this very slim elevator. Elevator music playing on top.
What about Astro Girl? Is she, like, phasing?
No. I don't think Astro Girl wants to risk falling out of the elevator.
Fair enough.
Fair.
You make your way to the top and there's like close shot of the closed door from outside. There's the ding as it appears and it opens up and like sardines in a can, you come pouring out. And yeah, as described, there's a long hallway in front of you. And something you immediately notice is it's cold as fuck here. Like, American fantasy temperatures. Like it's getting close to like 10 Fahrenheit or something like that. Like, it's not, you know, below zero or anything, but it's really cold.
Okay, now then it's more like 20, I think. 10 Fahrenheit should be minus 12.
Oh, yeah, okay. 20 Fahrenheit. Yeah, that works. So it's, like, below zero in Celsius, but only, like, slightly. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. It's like you stepped into a freezer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, this is probably where they're keeping bodies. Anyone know how to find him?
Hey, can I do that tremor sense thing again to see if I can feel like where there's a lot of vibrations of like machinery?
Yeah, for sure. Unleash your powers to extend your senses.
That was boxcars plus 3, so that's
hell
a 15.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay, yeah, it works exactly the way you want to. On a hit, you do it. You see with your feet. First thing you notice is it's kind of eerie that there's literally no one here. Like, this building should be in emergency mode right now. There's no guards positioned in this hallway. And you see that there is a door at the end of the hallway. There's doors to all the sides of the hallways. The only place you feel anything is the other end of the hallway, the door at the very end. Behind that, like, your tremor sense kind of even goes nuts. Like, there's a lot going on there. You feel the heavy pounding of machinery. You hear, like, the beeping of heart monitor-like equipment. You hear people running around, moving, doing quick steps.
I'm going to relay that to the team.
If we go towards the heart monitor, we'll probably find Dark Dreamer. But that was not our primary goal right now. We want to get the body.
Yeah, that's the mission.
I just turned to Astro Girl and I'm like, hey, so like, do clones have like a clone sense? Or like, if I like murder this one, do you get hurt? Like, what's happening here?
I don't fucking know. I didn't know I was a clone until like a couple hours ago.
Okay, fair. All right, so.
I really hope that doesn't happen. I could go looking through the doors along this hallway to see if that dead body is somewhere here.
Cool, let's do it. Yeah, let's do that. Let's just old school search, I guess, right?
Yeah, Astrogirl can just poke her face through the doors. Like, you relate to her that there don't appear to be people in there. So it's like halfway safe. She peeks into the doors and describes to you like, yeah, this looks like, you know, hospital suites, basically. What you also notice as you look in there and look across the hallway is there's like frost everywhere. Some of the doors appear to be frozen shut. Like, you get the feeling that this floor isn't supposed to be this cold. That this is like an unusual thing and that it's frozen over now because of some recent development. And all of the... It appears to be like hospital rooms to both sides and they all appear to be empty.
Cool. I'm just going to burst into the room.
Okay, yeah, you can do that. I'd say a door isn't a threat. So unleash your powers, I'd say, to burst through the door.
Hey, can I trigger Unstoppable?
For sure you can.
So when you smash your way through scenery to get to or away from something, roll plus danger. On a hit, the world breaks before you and you get what you want. On a miss, we'll get there when we get there, but I'm not going to miss. It's going to be fine. I did not miss. That was a 7.
Hell yeah.
So on a hit, the world breaks before you and you get what you want. On a 7 or 9, choose one. I'm going to mark a condition. I think,
yeah,
I'm
sure.
Officially afraid. Like, this is... The fact that no one's here is really kind of terrifying for me.
And if you weren't afraid before, let me describe what you see once you burst through them.
Oh, boy.
Oh, and for what it's worth, what I wanted to do is surprise people. Like, if I got what I wanted, I'm trying to, like, surprise whoever's on the other side, if possible. Even if just momentarily.
Yeah. You burst through and you definitely see, like, a scene of busy people kind of freezing in the moment as you break through. What's in front of you basically looks like this massive operating theater, kind of like an amphitheater that goes into the ground in front of you. And you see at the bottom of that, there's two structures, one of which appears to be an operating table of some sort with a body bag on it. And behind it, in like a large metal frame, you see something that kind of like looks like you've seen a lot of like animatronics throughout the park. There's a few animatronics that are basically like for security. They're like very bulky. They are there to like to get people who misbehave out of the way. There appears to be one of those, but much larger, and you see that there's like gold structures on it embedded in it. You see that there's like polished metal, like kind of like on a sports car, all over it in red and turquoise tones. And you see that at the top of this large robotic structure, there's like this conical glass element in which a frozen head lies. The frozen head of Doug Dreamer. And all around them, there's a bunch of people in surgical uniforms, like a lot of people wearing like doctor's coats and stuff like that. going about their business, and they all look up at you as you burst through the door. And in that moment, like the head that looks like it was frozen in place, that looked like the face of a dead man, opens its bloodshot eyes and stares up at you as the machine shakes off the frame.
Well, it appears that Dream Squad has come back to bite me.
Nah, my mouth can't open, but I'm gonna fucking punch your face in,
and I'm gonna launch at him.
And I think that's where we end this episode.
Let's go fight a dead guy.
Somebody's getting murdered.
There was no way around doing the frozen head.
Of course.
There was no way around having you fight a mech suit piloted by the frozen head of Dark Dreamer.
The fact that it's not a spider. Like, is this second level spider?
second or third form. Once you get down to the real bad stuff. Before he, like, mutates and shit like that. Yeah. Next time, the finale of Dream Squad, where we see our team going up against Doug Dreamer himself. You have decided that you wanted to end this in his death, and so it will end. Anyone here, do you have anything you want to tell the audience about where to find you real quick?
Yeah, I can go first. My name is Tess again, and you can find me on Twitter at Tessatrix, TessaTrie. I think it's just one X. It might be two X's. I don't remember. And also on Moon Harbor Heroes.
I would do a topical joke about how it's not called Twitter anymore, but that's not going to happen until a few months. So.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's don't know that yet. That's the future.
We don't know that.
But that's why it's Tessatrix with either one X or two. Just I was anticipating the name change. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm really just an innovator.
Yeah, you can find me on the Super Idols RPG podcast. You can also find me on Twitter and co-host with the username AuthorX, also 1X for now.
All these X's.
You can find me on Super Idols RPG.
You can find me on social media at SpeakerJPG. And if you follow my link tree, you could see all of the cool stuff I do. I'm a content creation consultant, TTRPG voice. I do a weekly show called The Welcome Party. Lots of cool stuff. So yeah, just follow me and then follow that link tree.
You can find me by going into the woods and gathering acorns and laying them down in an X shape on the ground and chanting my name 3 times. You also can just, you know, like, go to the Waypoint Twitter, I guess. You'll see me
there,
too.
Both of those options are equally fair. Yeah. You can find me in your worst nightmares. No, actually, you can find me on Twitter at Burning Oleander if you want to. Or you can just follow the Waypoint account. Not enough people are doing that. And I'm afraid it's going to become less because, man, that site's going down. We're also on Tumblr, on Instagram, and on TikTok, and on Twitter, of course, at Waypoint Pod. You can also find us on Blue Sky now. We just started being on Blue Sky, also at Waypoint Pod. If you want to look at updates, funny memes, and occasional fan art that we post. And if you want to send us an email instead, waypointheroes@gmail.com. And if you want to listen to the soundtrack that's at the beginning and the end of this episode, our theme song, it's by Ampersky, whom you can find on Bandcamp. And we hope to hear from you all. Yes, we can hear you through your speakers in 2 weeks for the finale of Dream Squad. And until then, bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Goodbye.
Love you.